You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we'll be discussing true femininity and feminism.
Wow, first time.
I know, I feel like that felt like a
mouthful, right?
Say the title 10 times fast. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
So femininity and feminism today. That's a hot topic. I feel like this might be a little bit touchy.
It could be. You got to remember that I've mentioned this before. I went to graduate school in the 80s, and second wave feminism is just an integral part of being a psychology training. So I've always been a big fan of the open doors that feminism has obtained for women in the marketplace and in political sphere, you know, in a culture that needed to make those changes, because the things that separated them out, you know, the kind of physical work and so forth that kept women down and so forth is not as relevant now. And I think it's been great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that maybe that's controversial in itself. I don't know, but I like it to a degree.
This was a hot topic at our dinner table. Literally last night, we were all sitting around the dinner table and all four of my girls started chiming in on all the things. And Brett looks at me and goes, "When did we start raising feminists?"
Good for you.
And I thought, hey, let's separate, let's navigate through this a little bit differently. Cause one of my little girls made the comment that girls are better than boys. And I'm like,
yes, they are. Wait, no, they're not.
This is not going well already.
But I do think it's worth going through this topic and discussing, what are some successes we've made as women in the past couple decades, right? Yep. Because a lot has changed. But then what are some things that culture is telling us true feminism is? Yeah. That it really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's basically it, is that, you know, as I've said in other episodes, I'm sure, I do have great concern about a kind of ideology that makes the sex, male or female, the same.
Right.
And it's ignorant. It really is more and more like humans being raised in captivity. It's not true. I cringe at these superhero movies that for some reason we have to keep showing some little, very attractive woman just beating the crud out of, you know, big men and so forth. That I it's fine, except that you see it so much that you really, it's part of this overall thing that I think parents need to be careful about, that if you're not paying attention, you'll basically talk to your teenage girl or boy as almost the same. And that's a mistake. It leaves especially our girls ignorant. And frankly, I think especially in the sexual interactions, vulnerable. And that's really kind of what I want to talk about.
Okay. So let's start with sexuality right off the bat, Dr. Ken.
Sure.
How does feminism affect women's view of sexuality or their perception?
Well, so in my opinion, before feminism went off the rails, I thought we were doing well because we'd move from the early stages, which was like men and women, you know, women should be treated like men. But second wave really focused more on equality that recognizes differences, and that because that it's not fair for a woman to have to be just like a man to be equal. Well, that was going well, I thought, and then it's gone off the rails because now we have really absurd stuff like women are being told to be, quote, sex positive. You may have heard of that, which is we don't want to. Number one, it's this kind of odd assumption that women have the same, their sexual interest and their interaction is the same as a man, which could not be further from the truth. We're being instructed now that there are no one who is a prostitute. They are a sex worker, because that's an industry and some women just kind of want to do that. That's ridiculous. No woman wants to do that. And if she's in that position, she's to be helped or, you know, whatever. It's just, this kind of thing that creates for our daughters, and you'll hear it, they'll hear it on the internet and all this stuff, this almost just in the woodwork, just this idea that you're just the same as a man. And that's just not true. Men have mm-hmm. far more of a sexual drive, far more willing to be aggressive and just use a woman. You know, the sex act itself is a huge different thing. It's such a vulnerability for a girl, you know, and the man is not, you know, men never, well, rarely think about pregnancy. I talk to women all the time who, without even realizing it, a girl has in her mind a clock. She knows that her body, starting at, you know, 18 or whatever, has reached really before that, but, you know, she's able to reproduce. And then she knows when it's getting toward the end of that, in, you know, in her 30s and, you know, late 30s. Men don't think about that. It's just not mm-hmm. it, but it's so inherent for girls that I think is just important for moms and dads to know how to talk to them about that. And especially in an age like ours, to not be afraid to talk about how they are different. And you'll have to push, you'll get pushback. Our girls will say, well, you know, not all women are like that. You know, some women are sexually aggressive and need it all the time. No, they're not. No, they're not. It's not the same. I used to mm-hmm. tell my daughters when they would come down wearing something, I'd use my son as a, like, hey, can you give me a reading on this? And, you know, I would tell them, look, if you could plug into a man's thinking for 5 minutes, you would never wear that. You know, it's just, it's important for girls to know that there is a difference and celebrate it rather than to feel like it's a knock on their respect as a woman or that's somehow putting them in their place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that you said celebrate it, because there are so many differences between women and men, and it doesn't mean one is better than the other or one is lacking versus the other, but it's just that we're different. We're not the same. If we were all the same, we would all be men or we would all be women, you know, but we're too different. And to celebrate that and to encourage our teenage daughters to step into their femininity. There you go.
No, you're good.
To step into that and know, you know, God created you to be a female, and being a female means, you know, X, Y, Z, and that's okay, you know, and that's yeah. good. That's and a good
but
thing.
I don't know if you can, but as a psychologist, I can just feel the wrongness of a lot of what we're saying. It's just you know, you're not supposed to talk about that like that.
Yeah.
You know, one of them, for example, so I've said this before, up until puberty, boys and girls can often be similar in physical size and strength and so forth. After mm-hmm. puberty, by and large, men will develop significantly more muscle mass and strength and aggressiveness than girls. And that's important for girls to know. But then secondly, girls have, again, this is what I worry about in regardless of what we've tried to do, too often our girls are trying to be successful by just being more like men. Girls yeah. historically, for example, continue to be particularly good relationally, mm-hmm. You know, and I've said over and over again, I really worry about girls not being encouraged to be with their girlfriends, to be in groups. They're actually, you know, it's one of the things I've not loved about girls' sports. I think women's sports is great, but mm-hmm. in some cases, there's an actual drive to reduce the, you know, women often by adolescence try to be less competitive. And that's been taken on as a challenge to no, we've got to make sure that they are, you know, competitive, just like a guy. Well, I'm not against that. But again, it worries me that that's also reducing the value of community, that women have always been able to lead out. Men need to learn that, you know, from women. So that's mm-hmm. one of the things, the characteristics is that, you know, women have more of an interrelational. It's one of the big things I do in marriage counseling is try to teach men about how their wives are talking to them in basically bids for connection. These are telling you what I'm feeling so that you can understand me. So these are just, you know, women that should be encouraged in your girls. And I don't think parents should be afraid of that feeling of, well, we should do the very same thing with our boys. No, you don't have to do that. It's fine to encourage one thing over another in boys versus girls.
Mm-hmm. I like that you said that you need to encourage relationships, girls and their relationships with other girls. Mm-hmm. And just their in the way that they're in tune with other people.
Yes.
And really observant and understand how nuanced relationships can be, whereas boys kind of breeze past it. I mean, just in my experience with my my husband, my son, they are oblivious to a lot of the interaction that goes on that girls pick up on right away. And I think men, my husband needs that from me, right? To be intuitive and say, hey, did you notice that?
That's
weird.
Exactly right.
And he doesn't pick up on everything. I mean, that's part of the way that we guide and counsel each other when we're, mm-hmm. you know, he pushes for other things and I push for like, hey, you know, she's not excited about that. Or, you know, that that's not a great situation because I saw this happening.
That's,
you know,
exactly
he's not observant about things. But I also think that, I want to jump back a little bit to the obligation that boys and girls have to each other. You were talking specifically about clothing. And that's really not something that I think most people, they feel weird about it. I mean, even me as a pretty conservative dressing parent who wants my daughters to dress conservatively, I don't like being told you can't wear that because a man is going to look at you a certain way, or your daughter can't wear that because she's going to be looked at a certain way. But I know that's true,
right?
Because I've seen that response, right? You wear something and you get that kind of negative attention, that catcalling weirdness. And mm-hmm. you think, okay, this is what elicits that response. And I think some girls honestly appreciate it. They want they manipulate that for their benefit.
Well, yeah,
right?
And we've argued with this. I've argued with my own children about this, that, you know, it is perfectly reasonable for young women to push back on any idea, any thought that you have in some way contributed or caused some sort of, you know, sexual assault or whatever based on what you're wearing. Of course not. You know, men are responsible for their own behavior. So getting out of anything like that, all I've had concern about is how it's important to teach boys the impact they have on girls, and to teach girls the impact they have on boys as a community, like how mm-hmm. you can help each other. But I got to tell you, no, I get a lot of pushback on that I can wear whatever I want. You know, that guy's walking around with just a tiny t-shirt on. And again, mm-hmm. I get it that you kind of have the right to do that. But I think it's part of this growing narcissism that I live my for me. I don't need to help anybody with anything. And certainly the idea of young women helping young men is so out of fashion that it really kind of stuns me that, you know, again, you'll get a pushback that you're essentially saying that I'm causing them to have all these thoughts. Well, again, no, it's not that, but you could be more helpful if you want. And ultimately it also does affect, we've talked many times about, I don't even think even Christian parents talk about marriage enough. It's such mm-hmm. an old-fashioned thing. Talk to your children about marriage, preparation mm-hmm. for marriage. And in when you're discussing that, then yes, there are certain ways for young men to be protective, helpful, to think about using what they have to help a girl, their mother, all that, while at the same time talking to our girls about the impact that they can have on boys in a positive fashion. You watch boys in a gym playing basketball and they're, you know, whatever they're doing. And then you have three teenage girls come in and sit down and those guys just completely change in how they behave. They're not mm-hmm. the same.
Right.
And to say that, well, girls do that too is ridiculous. No, they don't. There is an interaction that is frankly lovely. It's sweet. It's part of how humans are created.
Right.
That we need to talk to our teenagers about.
Right. And it's not the same. It's different for our daughters and our sons.
Yes.
It's a mutual respectfulness toward one another. I mean,
that's
just like you would tell your boys, you don't punch your sister. You're bigger than her. You're stronger than her.
That's
you don't
right.
punch your sister. You say to your girls, hey, you know, when you wear that, that elicits this response. You understand that this is the yes. effect you have on someone.
Do you so hear it's how old fashioned that sounds?
I know. And I hate even saying it, because on one hand, I'm like, you should be able to wear whatever you want. And he should
I can't
be able
say
to
it enough.
Control himself.
I get it. But this is bad.
I know it's from, dangerous. Yeah, from reality, I know that my experience tells me that this is true.
Control what you can control, right? Mm-hmm. You can control what you put on your body.
And
you
think about yourself.
Control their response.
And think mm-hmm. about yourself as part of a community. Stop mm-hmm. thinking of yourself as this isolated individual. And I guess part of the reason I have courage to talk about this more is that there are others joining with us, not just Christian voices. So I mentioned to you guys, I'm a big fan now of a book by Louise Perry. She is a British journalist, very active in feminism. And she wrote a book called The Case Against the Sexual Revolution. It's a little rough. Brits use language, you know, that we're like, yikes. But, you know, it's a very down-to-earth book. But listen to these chapter titles. This is her talking about the damage that the sexual revolution has done to women, and definitely pushing back on this idea of sex positive and all this stuff that has harmed our daughters. So this is just some of the chapter titles. Number one, sex must be taken seriously. Number two, men and women are different. Chapter three, some desires are bad. Chapter four, loveless sex is not empowering. Then she says, consent is not enough. Violence is not love. People are not products. And here's chapter eight, marriage is good. This is from a British feminist. So I think this is rolling back, and I just want to really applaud that. So when your teenage girl is going, you're so old fashioned, be assured. No, actually, you're cutting edge now because yeah. of the damage that her book is brilliant. She starts with the comparison of Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy magazine, and Marilyn Monroe, who they're actually buried in mausoleums next to each other, although they never met. She posed in his magazine, but they're both a man and a woman who were all about the sexual revolution. Mm-hmm. Well, he lived to a ripe old age and made a joke of himself anyway. And she was dead at a young age. It wore her out and she was spit out. Women don't survive well. And it was a great, I thought, comparison of two sort of free thinking sexual revolution people. Mm-hmm. And the woman just got ruined. Obviously Hugh Hefner made a joke of himself at the end anyway, but it's particularly hard on our girls. They are, a girl needs to be taken seriously. She needs to, commitment is extremely important to girls. Being treated with respect is extremely important. You know, I talk to teenage girls that actually don't know that, you really will not enjoy the hookup culture. Women never like the hookup culture, but they think that they should or would. And I've explained it to, I can't count how many college women that, you're hating it, aren't you? Mm-hmm. It's out. Even college boys don't like the hookup culture after a while. It just takes them longer to recognize it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes you hear a teen girl say, well, I can do anything he can do.
That's right.
You never hear a teenage boy say, I can do anything she can do.
That's a good point.
It's typically a girl that will say, I can do anything he can do. And to deliver that message to our teen girls of, no, you can't.
Well, and more than that, that's a very good point. I think that girl needs to be told you are reducing femininity by saying that. To rise up and be taken seriously as an equal does not mean that you need to be able to do what boys do. Because, sweetheart, I can guarantee you this, no matter what he does, he'll never be able to have a child.
Yeah.
And that's so undervalued in our culture. Mm-hmm. The ability to have your own child is a fundamental magic that God has given to us. And that's always been, and always, that as it should be, a woman's magic. It's the thing she can do and knows and all that. And I know there's listeners who cannot get pregnant. I get that. But that only adds to it because she's very sad about that. It's hard. And I think the more that we undervalue childbirth and the role of children, that's part of the girl that says, I can do anything a boy is doing, is devaluing women.
Right. And sometimes we talk about strength in our household because Brett is physically stronger than me. But
yes,
I have created and birthed 7 children. And so
it's stunning. So all of us are like, wow.
If one of our kids say, well, you know, daddy's stronger or mom, daddy's tougher, you know, Brett will quickly be like, no, your mom is tougher than I am. I might be able to physically lift this.
He's like me.
Your
That's
mom
right.
is tough.
I saw my wife give birth and it still stuns me. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but just, I couldn't believe how strong she was, only giving credence to the old adage, if men had babies, we'd all be single children.
Yeah, no, it would no be one, done. You know, it would have been done with Adam.
That's right.
but do you, even just to talk about strength, you know, well, what does strength mean to you, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just looks so different, you know, like typically men are physically stronger than women,
right.
and that's okay. But that doesn't mean a woman isn't strong. And let's talk about strength in a different way, not necessarily physical strength. So
yes.
It is such a good thing to talk to your teenage girls about what it means to be a true feminist.
And be feminine. Yes. And talk about the strength and value of being feminine mm-hmm. and a woman. And, you know, I think mothers, it's always been powerful to have other women, groups of women with your teenage daughters, you know, talking about all the things that are women related. I would strongly encourage everyone to push back against a culture that is insisting that we are walking human meat sacks that are just self-defined as whatever you want it to be. That's just crazy. It's the women are powerful. It's a powerful thing. And our girls need to know that.
Isn't it interesting that we really don't like to need each other? We really don't want to know.
So true.
We don't want to recognize the fact that we aren't completely independent of one another.
That's right.
That we actually need each other's strengths, that we can help each other's weaknesses. You know, and we're created to fit like puzzle pieces with each other, you know, in marriage. And I think that's part of it, is that feminists, in the negative sense of feminism, believe that they don't need a man.
That's
you
right.
know,
right.
In that toxic masculinity that we talked about, they believe they really don't need a woman, that they don't need anybody, you know, and so we really all truly need each other, and we're interdependent. And when we admit that, we all have a lot healthier
That's exactly
relationships.
Right. That's exactly you know, right.
And healthier marriages. Well, this has been a great conversation. This is something that I'm going to think about for a while. I've got 3 daughters that I want to raise in a way that they love being women and that they are strong women and the women that God created them to be. So thank you guys for good questions, good answers today.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.